Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FreeSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Back Talk. And I'm feeling so much better, Ken, because 4 months into the year, I finally found a movie I can brag about.
I completely agree. Wow. What a movie A24 has just given us. Of course, we're talking about Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War, the biggest film ever in A24 Studios history. $50 million budget. And it is doing gangbusters at
Block. Is that all the budget was?
All $50 million.
It's pretty spare when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's compared to a Marvel movie, that's nothing. That buys you 10 minutes of Robert Downey Jr.
But it's not Jerry Bruckheimer.
No. For a studio that's used to producing $15, $20 million movies, a $50 million movie is quite an investment. And they could easily have taken a hit if this movie had not turned out to be the hit that it is.
All right, Ken, now a thumbnail of what Civil War is about.
Well, before we say what it's about, let's start by telling our audience what it is not about. Because there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about this movie from people going in expecting it to be one kind of movie and then finding out it is not. This is not a movie about liberals versus Republicans. This is not a movie about blue states versus red states going to war with each other. This is not a movie where it's going to validate your political views by showing your party militarily defeating the other party and laying waste to the country and taking over.
Well, let me add to yours by saying I think the palette here is a mix of red and blue. In other words, I think it comes from anywhere. It's got elements of both sides. If that's what they're hoping for, you're absolutely right. You're not going to get it pure. But there are elements within it that you could identify your left or your right.
There are. Director Alex Garland was very careful to balance that tightrope of not trying to tell us too much.
Yes.
We don't know what the political affiliations of either side in this Civil War really are.
Sure.
We know that there's a three-term president who has defunded and disbanded the FBI to protect himself. We know that he has bombed American citizens. We know there was an Antifa massacre. We know that he has turned Washington, D.C. into a citadel, a fortress, and that there hasn't been any journalists in to interview him in many years. But what you need to be aware of is this is not a movie about one political side fighting the other. This is a movie about four journalists on the last days of the Civil War, trying to get to Washington on the back roads so they can get one last interview with this president before he is deposed.
Yeah, and I can't remember the specific titles, and you probably could, about movies that have had journalists and photojournalists.
Well, you've got Private War, Welcome to Sarajevo are the two that immediately come to
but
mind.
But you know what? In all of those, I've never felt as close to the action as I have in this one.
No, and that's because the other ones really tried to depict a real story about a real photojournalist or a real war correspondent, so they're really telling more of a documentary story. This, of course, is more like a science fiction movie. It is about these four journalists, three journalists who are very, very tired. They're beaten. They're holed up in New York. They know the final days of the war are coming. They can read the tea leaves. They've been around the block, and they're like moths to the flame, they're drawn to this last mission.
They're jaded, and I think I've never seen Kirsten Dunst do so well as
yes.
She has done in this.
She seems so tired and so weary.
It's
and just
wonderful.
All joy in life has been drained from her.
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
When you look at what Garland depicts for us.
And we see some of it. We see the executions that she's seen and the horrific things that she's had to report.
And, you know, as you express it, it could almost seem hyperbole. But yet when you're sitting in a theater, you feel like you're right behind her. She's behind the soldiers, and you're right behind her.
You do. You do.
Or I'm like the little ingenue.
Hayley Spain.
Right.
Yes, and in showing us that she is capable of much better work than what we saw in Priscilla.
And she's an artist as well as an aspiring journalist.
She's an aspiring young photographer. She's got her old Nikon FE 35mm camera.
Terrific.
And she has convinced these three to let her tag along. And, of course, most of this movie is really about her. We're seeing this movie through her eyes as she experiences for the first time the things that have brought everybody else to this point in their lives.
Yeah,
she's aspiring to be Kirsten Dunst's character, who at that moment in Kirsten Dunst's life is so weary of being that person.
I think one of the expressions that is repeated here is so graphic for me when they talk more than once about what if the other was shot or killed, and what would they do? They'd take the photo.
They would take the photo.
Wow, I said to myself, wow, that is hardcore. That, I mean, that's professional, that's detached.
We see the gritty side of war correspondence. We see the fact that they're not there to support one side or the other. They are merely there as objective observers to create the photos and the story that is up to the readers, to us, to interpret however we will.
Oh, yeah. As they travel, and I think particularly from West Virginia to D.C., they encounter a few bad boys. There is one scene, and I don't know if I should spoil it for people or not, but it's the one where they meet that camp of people, and they're standing in front of the no-named soldier who's asking them what Americans.
Oh, they run into a typical of Alex Garland. We don't know what side the soldier on. For all we know, this soldier might be some local who's just put on fatigues and decided to exploit the situation. But he is there with his assault rifle and his partner, and they're next to a pit, and he is asking them questions about, what side are you on and who are you?
I can talk about a Holocaust image.
Oh, horrible.
The truck?
Yeah.
What an amazing depiction. Do we dare reveal who this person is? Because he's not listed in the cast.
I wouldn't. I'm going to save it for the audience to go out and see it. But I do want to say that
I'm dying to tell them because I think it's ingenious.
There is a warning here. There is more executions in this movie than I've ever seen in any other movie. Alex Garland has never been one to shy away from violence. This is the fellow who brought us 28 Days Later. That was his very first film. Then, of course, he's brought us Ex Machina. He brought us Annihilation. Yeah. He is a person.
We'll talk about him in our podcast.
Yes.
Let's do that,
But one thing that you might find frustrating about this movie, but is very characteristic of Alex Garland, and I find very refreshing, is that he doesn't do a lot of exposition. These characters are not explaining things to us. It's not like a Marvel movie where they have to tell you every single detail for fear that you don't understand something. You just get little snippets from the very normal conversations they're having, and you have to piece together what has brought the country to this point in time.
And if I'm right, Ken, and you're talking about the multiple executions, they don't hit you as the grisly, gory things that you would have expected. Garland is so careful with the way he depicts it. You rarely see any blood because Garland respects us. And says, you guys know what this would look like.
He's not trying to turn this into a gory horror film.
No, he's not. No. He said, you get the idea? Boy, you sure do.
But the point you need to know is this is a journey film. This is a film that holds its history back to Homer's Odyssey. This is a movie that is like Saving Private Ryan or Carmack McCarthy's The Road. This is a movie about experience that these people are on and how they learn from it, not about the war or about the final destination.
It's funny because you alluded to a couple of my favorite pieces. The Odyssey, of course.
The Odyssey, yes.
And Cormac McCarthy's stuff is so like Garland.
Yes.
It's so expressive and so lean and so prophetic. Yes, it's an excellent choice. Now, I have one that we could talk about. My reference is, and what makes me think, and this is going to be out a little bit out, Birth of a Nation.
Okay, I can see that,
And I'm saying it because I think people who saw Birth of a Nation were probably either confused or were certain it was their side that was being extolled here. Once you think about it, it's, of course, not a happy business, but a Birth of a Nation, and when you see who's involved, and anyway, there's a whole bunch of things being thrown in there so that any side could appreciate it, but what it comes out is as a classic.
Oh, yes.
And
I think this film will be remembered.
Oh,
It may be not to the same level as Saving Private Ryan, but I think, to my money, this is a better film than The Road.
And for me, and I've told you what my tagline is, this is a masterpiece of pop apocalypse.
I like that. I'll counter that with my tagline, leave your politics at home.
All right. We're at a point where we can move into other topics, and yet we have a film that we both adore. You would think we would go on forever. But like Garland himself, we are spare. We have suggested to you the greatness of this film. You need to go see it if you want to believe what we've said.
And that's absolutely true. This is a film that deserves to be seen on a big screen. It has a very, very big feel to it.
Yes,
I don't think it's going to have the impact on a 60-inch television. I really don't.
Oh, my gosh, no. You know, you mentioned, and I'm with you, A24 is probably the most sophisticated producer of films currently.
They are doing much more intelligent work than I think a lot of other studios.
Yeah.
And they're doing it on very tight budgets. Most of their films are $20, $25 million productions.
And you mentioned Annihilation.
Annihilation was one of Garland's earlier films.
He also wrote 28 Days, right? He didn't direct it.
He co-wrote 28 Days Later.
I don't think he was the director.
But then, of course, he worked on the sequel to 28 Days Later.
I catalog just a few within the last year or so. I can't believe the titles. Love Lies Bleeding.
Love Lies Bleeding
was
an A24.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
What a terrific little film. How about Iron Claw? I don't know if you ever saw that.
I didn't get the chance to see it, but I did hear very good things about it.
And then one that you and I both like very much, Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which had a very good shot at the Academy Award this year.
Gosh.
Of course, picked up Best Sound Editing.
Best
Foreign Language Film.
Yes, yes. A couple of foreign films they did that I adored very much. Past Lives.
Yes.
And Midsommar.
Midsommar, which brought the world, what is her name? Florence Pugh. Yeah, our first time seeing Florence Pugh. What a great film Midsommar was, too. It was one of my favorite films of that year.
I have to interrupt this. Now, this is a podcast, so we can kind of roam a little bit.
Yeah.
I just want to interject this for you. Wicked Little Letters.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, because I'm thinking of Jesse Buckley.
Okay, well, I know Olivia Colman's in it.
Oh, yeah. But Jesse Buckley is that same kind of you find her. And she was in Rose. She played a country western singer a few years ago. It's when they discovered her. Wow.
Well, what A24 does is it searches the film circuits and the film festivals for movies, typically adult movies, usually R-rated movies, that are very smart, that are going to appeal to a very smart audience, and then it distributes these films. So it doesn't make a lot of movies itself.
No, of course, right.
Yeah.
But that's the key.
Yeah.
You have to get a distributor, everybody who wants to promote a film.
It's sort of, since Disney took over Fox, it sort of has supplanted Fox Searchlight. Fox Searchlight was the studio used to do
this.
And now the Fox Searchlight has sort of taken a back step. A24 has stepped in and taken its place.
Here's one from A24 that got them an Academy Award. The Whale.
Oh, yes, yes.
Wow.
Brendan Fraser won for Best Actor, yes.
Wow, amazing.
And that's a really good example of a typical A24 film. Very small budget.
Yes.
R-rated, of course. Very, very intelligent. Based on a play, essentially just a filming of the play in what could easily have been a studio set. A24 is looking for these kinds of movies because they really do know that there's a smart audience out there looking for something above what the normal studios are putting out.
You and I could be good employees of A24.
I think we
could.
Hopefully there's a check in the mail from them now. Yes.
Yeah, I know. If we go a little bit farther back with A24, I know I'm going to hit it right with you for several of these.
Okay.
The Lobster.
The Lobster is one of my favorites. Oh, yes. Very challenging film. I'm not sure anybody would have distributed that movie except for A24.
This is Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
That was an Aronofsky film, as I recall, wasn't it?
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
For those of you out there who only know Oscar Isaac through the Star Wars sequels,
go out and find some
of these great films.
He is
so much better than what you saw in the Star Wars sequels.
Oh, my God. Another one that could be forgotten that I thought was terrific. Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson.
Yes. Well, that's my favorite Scarlett Johansson movie, and also based on a really great work of science fiction. So
if you
enjoy that movie, that is a book worth – the movie's sort of a take on the book, but not a literal adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
And both the book and the movie are fantastic.
And the only other one I have on the early A24 is one that some might think is kind of silly, but I think has an awful lot going for it, and that is The Bling Ring.
You know, I never saw that.
Okay, so it picks up on a lot of young ladies, and they're being bad girls.
Oh.
And they're very good, you know,
suggesting
mean girls later on and so on. But again, I think we're talking about A24, and you'll see the sign when you watch the movies, and it now should mean something to you when you look at that. And you'll know it was Civil War, but you also know that it's quality. I'm looking at the whole list and I didn't put all of them down.
No, and well, and many of the films you mentioned were actually filmed independently and then just distributed by A24. But in the case of Civil War was made by A24, so this was an in-house production. But while we're here, I also want to take a second to discuss the influence of the Odyssey, of Homer's great classic work, on motion pictures. Because so much of the great films can trace their legacy back to the foundation of the Odyssey. The idea that the story is about the journey, not about the destination.
Sure.
It's about the trials that the individuals go through as they progress on the journey and how those trials change them, for better or for worse, to become the person they are at the end.
And when you consider the questions that any spouse might have about how the other can be gone for 10 years, you need to know that.
Yes.
You need to be able to be with Odysseus when he travels. And when he meets these, and what I love about the Odyssey is it gives us then purchase on exotic stories that actually mean something. So all of our fantasy that we've had for the how many, 10, 20 years, beautiful stuff done in movies, and you say, well, that's just fantasy. And so is the Odyssey, fantasy.
Yes, the Odyssey is just fantasy.
Homer was so on target on everything that's meaningful about being human.
But we have to be willing to realize that much of the great works that we see in cinema today can trace their story structure thousands of years to very fundamental styles of storytelling that go back to the ancient Greeks and possibly even earlier than that. Of course, the biggest, when you mentioned the Odyssey, the biggest film is always going to be O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Which is just a very literal adaptation of the Odyssey with a great soundtrack.
Yes.
But you can't discount a movie like Saving Private Ryan, which is also very, very closely tied to the Odyssey. The events, the very episodic nature of these films as the participants. Usually there's one or two older ones who are experienced, weary, and then there's always the younger one. Just like in Saving Private Ryan, we had the young journalist that was brought along, and he's really the character that we see grow during the course of Saving Private Ryan. As much as you think it might be about Tom Hanks' character, it really wasn't. It was about the young journalist and how he grows as a person.
Good point.
And the same thing here. That's why we have Kaylee Spaney in this movie, is because we're seeing Kaylee Spaney grow, and we're growing through her. We're watching her growth, and this is how we're coming to relate to the other characters.
As we look at Alex Garland, one of the desperate things that I heard was that he's quitting.
He's going to take a break.
As a break, yeah. I hope that's true.
He says he's going to take a couple-year break. He's probably going to do well enough with this movie that he can afford to do that. I don't know if he's actually going to stop directing. I hadn't read anything that he was going to
stop. I was under the impression he was, but this is all...
What I've read so far is that he intends to take a break from directing for a while. Maybe he's nurturing a couple of story ideas that he needs a couple of years to develop into scripts, because a script takes a couple of years to
really
develop.
Let's hope he doesn't take that long. What do you think about Garland? Who is this guy, Garland? When you look at Civil War, Annihilation, Ex Machina, and then 28 Days and so on. You know, what can we glean from that and say, okay, here's Garland, some of his major movies. What does it say about this director?
It says that this is a director who's interested in people transforming, people changing, and people growing.
Good.
This is a director who is interested in real people, not caricatures, not exposition, but real people talking the way real people talk and reacting the way real people react to extreme situations. And, you know, of course, in 28 Days Later, you're seeing this small little family of people trying to make their way through this apocalypse landscape and survive through the episodes, very similar to Civil War.
And I think it's an important point. We are in the apocalypse, not post-apocalypse.
We are in the
Civil War.
Yes, Civil War is the final days of this apocalyptic Civil War that has taken place between these three factions. You have the Western forces of California and Texas. And I think that Garland was very careful to pick those two states because, again, he's trying to blur the politics.
Of course he is.
So he's picked a very liberal state and a very conservative state to play it safe.
Yes, I have.
And then you've got the Florida Alliance, which is an interesting choice because, of course, Florida is known as one of the more extreme states right now politically. And it's interesting that they've joined California and Texas in opposing this president. And I like the way that Garland just doesn't explain the story. You always know when something bad's about to happen.
Movies are very visual, but sometimes that's all they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes Barbie didn't go far enough. It's beautifully visually, but I would have liked it more. He goes deep. He knows how to use it because the visual can overwhelm a story if you're not careful.
Especially if you're talking CGI, where where the CGI can be the story or the reason for the story's existence. And that will never be the case with the Garland movie. Garland is much too interested in his characters and less interested in his effects.
K.G. Klein, delightful as always. We don't always agree about liking or not liking or being mediocre. So this is why we have such a good show and why we're so highly rated or, let's say, highly placed on NPR.
Thank you, NPR.
Right. What do you suggest? What do you recommend about Civil War?
I think you're going to enjoy this movie a lot more if you do a little checking and find out what this movie is about and go there anticipating the movie that you're going to see instead of going there anticipating it to be something it's not.
Your advice way back from It's Movie Time, your advice that it doesn't settle down on any particular side of the political spectrum, although there are elements peppered all over it that you can take.
There's no good guys in this. We're not even told that one of the sides is the side to root for. We're left wandering and wondering where we should be politically in this conflict because we don't have enough to go on to know who it represents what.
Well, the only good guys are the Back Talk and It's Movie Time guys.